Well, welcome to another edition of the Destination Polaris podcast. I'm your host, Jared Christie. Today's podcast is brought to you by Rugged Radios, in-car communication, car-to-car communication, Bluetooth music. Whatever your communication needs might be, Rugged is always there to help you out with finding the right product for your machine. Rugged Radios, the authority in communication. All right, I'm excited about our chat today because we're going to visit one of my favorite places, not only to off-road, but in the winter as well. Please help me welcome to the show Steve Morrison, the film and entertainment and AV manager at Mammoth Mountain Ski Area. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, pleasure to be with you.
That is a big title.
Yeah, the hats keep stacking on top of my head.
How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. Just keep my head above the snow this winter.
No, yeah. And I tell you what, I am itching to talk about that. But for people, first of all, who maybe aren't familiar with Mammoth or maybe even where Mammoth is located in California, help us out.
Well, we're 3.5 hours south of Reno, 5 hours north of Los Angeles. And those are, you know, if you're going to take San Francisco, you're probably going to end up in Tahoe, but you could do that and then come down via Reno down to Mammoth. But yeah, two main areas are 3.5 hours south of Reno, 5 hours north of Los Angeles.
And I think there's a pretty large national park kind of in your backyard there.
Well, as the crow flies, it's about 15 miles. That would be Yosemite National Park. And yeah, that we are about, well, probably about 35 minutes from the back gate of Yosemite.
Nice, nice. I think most people would know where that's at, but Mammoth maybe isn't on everyone's radar because of it's a little more remote, I guess, for some people.
Well, yeah, it's obviously becoming more popular. We're really striving to make this a four-season, year-round destination, but I'll tell you what, our skier visits are through the roof. And once these atmospheric rivers have settled down and good visits.
So let's talk about the snow, because this year, I don't know if there's another way to say it, but it was epic.
Well, it's a record breaker. At the main lodge, we had a total of about 60 feet. And at the top of the mountain, which is 11,053 feet. Boy, what did we have there? Close to almost 900 inches. So that's about 73 feet total at the top. And when you get, and currently we have 15 to 20 foot base. And for, you know, gosh, May 9th, are you kidding me? That's unheard of. We've already announced that we're going to be open for skiing until end of July and most likely beyond.
I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he lives out in Park City, and I told him I was going to be chatting with you, and he goes, I heard a rumor that they were going to try and see if they could stay open all summer long.
Well, you know, it all depends on temps, right? And what the melt does. Right now, we currently have a lot of ski teams, race teams booking our race runs to train because of our lengthy season. I mean, like I said, it broke the record for the last record was 668 inches. And gosh, that was back in, 56 feet back in 2010 and 2011. So yeah, it's just been incredible. There's been roads that have been single lane roads that are never single lane roads. We basically 395 to get up here is our main highway that was closed. So many times I've never seen it because of whiteout conditions and dangerous road conditions and homes of roofs have collapsed and a number of homes have exploded because of propane tanks and not venting properly. So it's just been one crusher of a winter.
Yeah, I wanted to know what it was like to get 60 feet of snow at the main lodge. I mean, we had a top three winter here in Minnesota, and you know, I'm still driving around town seeing big piles of snow in shopping mall parking lots.
Well, Jared, I know you remember being here and that at main lodge and even in our garage facility, we had snow cats on top of our garage facility, which is our maintenance facility, pushing snow off that roof. There were just immense piles of snow around this area. The plow drivers couldn't keep up. Plows are breaking. And then we had some assistance from, all sorts of fire departments down south and whatnot helping out.
Oh my goodness. Oh my, you know, obviously you live and work at a resort. Snow is important, but, was it too much snow in some cases?
Well, it definitely was. You know, we'd obviously prefer a rather, you know, regulated, but, you know, how are you going to control that? Right. We love the snow. We'll take the snow. We need the water. Crowley Lake up until last week was frozen. Fishing openers normally end of April. Couldn't put a boat on any of the waters up here because of still snow and frozen lakes. So it's been a bummer of a winter.
No
doubt. It's still going. Heck, it snowed 6 inches in the last 5 days.
I know. I'm on the Mammoth website right now, and the temperature is only 40 degrees right now. So it's not like it's, 65 or something like that.
Yeah, it we're going through a little chilly spell, but very soon here that'll break and it'll be short sleeves and shorts out on the hill.
What's the latest that Mammoth has ever stayed open through the summer? Because I know when I lived out there, usually like a good winter meant you guys could kind of keep things open roughly till 4th of July.
Yeah, that's going to be very easy this year.
Right?
Obviously, we've officially announced our closing end of July. And like I said, we don't know if it's going to go further than that. Probably will, but we got to get a little closer to that date before we announce that. But I believe the latest is about the first weekend in August. August 6th is ringing a bell, but I'm not 100% sure.
That's amazing that a ski resort can stay open for that long. I imagine, though, you guys were probably closed a fair amount during the wintertime just because the access.
There was a number, more than we would like to admit, unfortunately, just due to complete whiteout conditions, huge winds, and massive piles of snow. And, you know, when you get that much snow in a short amount of time over and over and over again, you got to do all that avalanche control,
yeah,
which is done with hand charges from ski patrol, howitzers that we have on loan from the military. And so it was a constant barrage of bombs going off this winter. That's for sure.
Oh man, that is something else. If for people who haven't been out to Mammoth before, talk to me about the mountain, because you know it's Mammoth for a reason.
Well, 3,500 skiable acres. Probably 23. I don't know the exact number. Chairlifts, number of gondolas, and all sorts of terrain. The top of the mountain is at 11,053 feet. And I've skied here in October before on Halloween. And so we didn't open that early, but we did open early November, earlier than our projected date. And we got a whole lot of new construction that's going to go on at our tube park. And we're replacing in the next 2 years. Well, we've already started to replace one of our main chairs out of Canyon Lodge, which is chair 16, into a high-speed six-pack up from a four-pack, and then we'll proceed over to chair 1 out of Main Lodge. So there's a lot of capital expenditure construction that's going on around this resort as we speak.
How many days did you get on the mountain this year?
I stopped counting because my office is literally 50 yards from a chairlift, so I'm fortunate enough to where I can just go out and hit it for an hour, but it's a great place. And I'm not kidding. After working at UPS as a manager for 22 years in San Diego, and now I've been here for 20 years doing this job, it's fabulous. I can go out there for an hour or two. All of our meetings, it's pretty classic when you look out under the table, and the number of people that are in ski boots taking these meetings is pretty classic.
That's awesome. Still living that ski bum lifestyle. Now, didn't you go to San Diego State, if I remember correctly?
I did, as a matter of fact, yes.
Can we just talk basketball for the next half hour, 45 minutes?
You know, living on a ski resort. Well, actually, they did go pretty far, didn't they?
They made it to the championship this year, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Yes. Yeah, I bet those 1 hour lunch breaks were pretty good this year.
Exactly. And then, you know, there's one of my guys is out. I got a film shoot starts tomorrow through Friday. he's out scouting with a ski scout today. And then, but yeah, there's all sorts, you know, we scout on snowmobiles and what have you. I had a Toyo Tires commercial or a film shoot last week, which was pretty successful. The one day the snow was super mushy, cars were getting buried. But the second and third day it froze up pretty, very nicely. And, the armed car and the picture car, heck, it drove around like it belonged out there.
Now, if you're not a skier, snowboarder, there are, tons of other things you can do up in Mammoth.
Well, I tell you, it's a, you know, it's going to be a challenging backpacking winter or excuse me, summer out there because of the amount of snow. The melt is going to affect all those rivers, but normally backpacking is a huge sport out here. And the Pacific Crest Trail, the John Muir Trail, my wife's done a number of those. There's all sorts of peaks, Mount Whitney and whatnot. And, you know, all the way down to the lowest point in the United States, Death Valley.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, I'm on the Mammoth website and you can do gondola tours and cross country skiing and, you know, during other parts of the season, you got your hiking and you got golf, paddleboarding with the mountains up there and kayaking. It's like you mentioned at the start here, this is not just a seasonal place. This is all seasons.
Oh, definitely. And I'll tell you, side by siding up here, just like, you know, a lot of places has really increased up here. And that's fantastic to see the, not only that, but dirt bikes and whatnot and the dispersed camping that during the pandemic really exploded. And, but yeah, there's all sorts of off-roading out here. There are thousands of miles of approved Forest Service trails that are out here that are all labeled and there's maps available and they're all interlinked and boy, you can go anywhere and everywhere up here as long as you stay on the designated trails.
See, Steve is a professional. He just guides me down the trail when it comes to this podcast and just segues right from the mountain right to the trail.
Right to the trail. That's right.
Now, when we went out there a number of years ago and we rode with you and Mike, it was awesome because we could leave right from the resort.
Yeah, that's still the case. You know, down in Bishop, so in Mammoth, not so much. There aren't on the actual the town roads. They'll probably get you if you can't just drive a side by side or a green stickered vehicle right down Main Street.
Sure,
but there's plenty of ways that you can access all these thousands of miles of trails. And in Bishop, which is about 35 minutes south, there are designated asphalt roads that will access you legally to gas stations and maybe a quick market or whatnot. So, yeah, there's all sorts of riding down in Bishop as well.
Now, Steve, when we were there with the guys from Rugged and riding around, and a couple of the places stick out in my mind. And one of them was and you're going to have to remind me because I didn't watch the story recently, was we rode to a tiny little lake where you could do a little camping if you so choose on this little spot. But what was that lake called again?
That was Sherwin Lakes, and that was the Sherwin Lakes Trail. And boy, that sure is a super fun trail. It has gotten very popular. I went up there, it was in November, and it right before we got a bunch of snow, and I was scouting for a Chevy commercial. And I made it all the way up. I couldn't make it all the way to the lake. There was one big snow patch that, you know, I was alone and I was with a rookie PA. And I remember saying to him, I'm like, hey, how do I look on the right when we're in this little snow patch?
Yeah.
And he's all, good. And then something hit my head. I'm like, you know what? He just told me an hour ago, this is the first time he's ever been side by side. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get out and look. And I got out and looked on the passenger side. I said, oh, gads. Yeah, not good.
Not good.
So it took about 20 up and backs, just like little foot at a time type things. But yeah, that got the hair sticking up my arms. But that's a great trail. Super, super fun, super challenging. And then you get to the top and it's just the color of that lake is fabulous.
That's something that'll stick out forever in my mind is when you're doing these sort of higher elevation rides. You get these lakes that are just green in color.
Exactly. And those lakes over at June Lake, that and Gull Lake and all sorts of other lakes over there are just fabulous as well. And those backcountry lakes that where you can't access via motorized vehicles, those are super beautiful.
Yeah, because we were able to get up above June Lake and see it from up above, but you couldn't ride down to it. Not from what we did. Maybe you can in another.
There is. We didn't do it that day, but there definitely is. You only got to skirt along a little piece of highway for probably about 100 yards, and they don't bother you. And then you jump back on a Forest Service trail, and you can get onto the backside of that. But all sorts of fun.
No doubt. And then, of course, the other spot that we went to was you had to park and get out and walk. But once you got up there, that place was like being on the moon or Mars. It was so unique and so different.
Oh, Obsidian Dome.
Yes, Obsidian Dome.
Yeah, that place is fabulous. And you can just ride all your side-by-sides, dirt bikes, licensed vehicles right at the bottom, park. How much would it take you? A couple minutes to get up into that dome? And it just looked like a bomb went off in there way back in the day. So, yeah, and all that shiny obsidian rock.
What is, for folks that haven't been to Mammoth before and they're thinking of making a road trip and going up there and going for a ride, what are some things that they should know?
Well, plan your campsites early, because they do fill up. There are, most of them are reservation based. But again, since the pandemic, as long as you're respectful, you can go out and do what they call dispersed camping. It can be out there, I believe it's 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, might be 30 days until you have to move. That's dry camping, but definitely make sure you take advantage of all the things that are up here. Like you said earlier, kayaking, fishing is a huge one. And gondola rides. And there's a whole adventure center at Mammoth where you can ride, the kids can ride those Stasic bikes. And we set up a little course there. Matter of fact, moving into Mammoth Motocross, which is usually in the end of June, due to the snowpack and us being open for skiing so late, and it's the same employees that run that motocross event, Mammoth Motocross, are the same people that are opening the lifts, running the lifts, running the snow cats,
right,
snow plows, all that kind of stuff. So we pushed that last week to August 25th to September 3rd.
Wow. Way late this year.
Way late. So that's a great event as well to attend.
I'd imagine your season, or for your normal season plan, is going to get very condensed in the late summer and fall for all the.
It makes for a challenging maintenance period for all the lifts. There's pretty extensive maintenance needs to happen to each lift prior to it opening the next season, and then the state of California has to come out and sign off on the safety of that particular lift, and then you move on to the next lift. So with all this snow, it makes for a challenging maintenance period, that's for sure.
But Steve, I mean, it's the state of California. Things will happen quickly.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You just call them up and they'll be there bright and early the next morning.
Oh, yeah. That's just like, all the contractors and anything that you try to get done to your house. And it's not L.A., right? The second homeowners, we find it kind of classic that, and I come from Southern California, so I get it, where you can call somebody in Southern California, most likely get somebody that afternoon to go fix your faucet or whatever. And that's definitely not the tune up here.
No, not at all. Now for you, you've got kind of a unique role being film entertainment and AV manager. Talk about that a little bit, because you've been in that role a long time, and what is exactly that role does?
Well, 20 years, being that we're so close to Hollywood, we have a lot of filming, all sorts of filming, anything from a music video to a full-blown feature, second unit feature, a lot of car jobs, and a lot of apparel fashion jobs. And so I basically, assist and scout and manage, locations for productions that want to come up and film, not only on Mammoth Mountain, but in Mono County. I'm also on the board of the Mono County Tourism and Film Commission. And, that is just to help and expedite production companies that want to film up here, that want to know, hey, gosh, where do I stay? Where do I rent this? Where do I get porta bathrooms, et cetera? And so that is, and permits. And permits is a huge one. And then I'll back into, if it's on the hill, I'll back into, you know, what kind of support you need on the hills. It's snowcats, snowmobiles, you need a snowblower. Heck, I'll rent you a shovel.
Right, everything.
Everything. And then entertainment. I also book all the bands, book the DJs, work most of the events. And then on the AV side, that's audio visual. That's providing screens, projectors, portable screens, projectors, in-house systems. And then we've morphed into all the Teams cameras and live Teams meetings and Zoom meetings and all that kind of stuff. And in-house meetings as well. And it's because we have a lot of companies come up here and they do, you know, a long weekend or a couple, 3-4 days during the week to have their once a year meetings up here. And then they tie in, you know, an afternoon of skiing as well. So, yeah, it's a fabulous job. I tell you, it's always changing. And just like when you called me, I'm like, well, heck, I'll make myself available for that because I actually watched that show.
Right. Right. And then you're like, well, that's easy. Yeah. there's not much work in that one.
Oh yeah, exactly. You learn to how to deal, as you well know, how to deal with challenging productions. But the fact that it's not a beat on my chest thing, but I've been doing it for so long and have gotten in so many, I've tried so many new things that I'm almost out of trying new things that specifically on car jobs and whatnot. That won't work. I've tried that and it got us into more trouble. And, but yeah, it's trial and error, but you know, not to say that I'm not up to trying new things, always am, but kind of know that, that two-wheel drive, Lamborghini is not going to roll down that snow covered road that's got 20 feet of snow on it.
As much as you want it to, you're going to have
yes.
to wait. I imagine. When is your downtime? I mean, if you're going from season to season to season, when do you get a little break?
Well, you know, again, you know this. Production goes hot and heavy, and then and as soon as you start to think, you know what, I'm getting really burned out here, then and I need some time off, and then the reverse happens. Go, okay, is anybody calling? It's pretty dead. And then it goes back, and then now you're busy, super busy again. And you look back, I look back and I go, why was I stressing about not having production up here? Cause now it's up to my neck.
Yes.
So it bounces hot and cold.
Right. What's, if you can recall one of your more, favorite or enjoyable production shoots that you've done over the years?
Oh, well, I don't know. Victoria's Secret Winter Catalog, I guess.
Fair.
That, you know, not bad. Did the opening scene of Disturbia with Shia LaBeouf. Have done a number of, and these are no longer under an NDA, but have done a number of Apple shoots with Black Hawk helicopters and running at night and twilight. And that's always fun. But it's always fun. It's the ones that keep me up at night are the car shoots, the car jobs. Because that armed car typically is the one that gets stuck because it's heavier. And there's been a number of times to where I've doubted that, is that really your precision driver? Get him out of there. I'm jumping in here. But yeah, there's all sorts of different ones. So it's a lot of fun. And right now it's super busy because we have so much snow right now. And it's going to keep going. We have people going, gosh, you're going to have snow in June? I'm like, guaranteed. And I don't guarantee things unless I can 100% guarantee. I don't lead anybody down a road of like, hey, Steve, we're looking for this, and just try to get him here. I'm not going to, it's either yes, I have it, or no, I haven't, or I can't answer that. But a no is an acceptable answer coming out of me. I want to say yes all the time, but you know, there's a limit to that of like, you know what, love to host you. That's just not going to work at that particular time of year.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet you've gotten pretty good at that over the years.
Yeah.
Now, give me the background on Mammoth a little bit, because it was sort of a family ski resort to start with.
Yeah, it definitely is. And June Mountain has been ranked one of the most family-friendly ski resorts as well, which is a sister mountain of us. We're one of, I believe, 15 resorts that fall under Alterra Mountain Company. Mammoth started by Dave McCoy in 1953. And they all thought he was crazy when he said, I want to build a ski resort here. And they're like, it snows too much. He's all, well, is that, and why is that a problem for a ski resort? he just a legendary guy that, and I had the pleasure of knowing him and meeting him, and just always had a smile on his face. And one of his favorite comments, when somebody would, start to get a little sideways, you know, but you're having fun, right? And he was just fabulous. Always a smile on his face, all the way to the end.
No doubt. What? Why does Mammoth get so much snow right there?
Well, it's the San Joaquin Valley, and it comes from basically it starts at the east side, and it just stops and hovers right over Mammoth. I'm probably about 5 miles on the east side of the Sierras, and in my house, I'll be sunny, but I look up the mountains, Mount Tom in particularly, and, the storms just cling to the mountains, to the eastern Sierras there, and they normally don't blow over any further than that. So yeah, it's incredible.
Now, you've been up there for, you know, working up there for almost 2 decades now.
Yes.
Kind of what makes the area so special for you, Steve?
Well, gosh, born and raised in Southern California, I had a great, you know, and as my wife was, we moved up here from Carlsbad, and we found ourselves, being that we were going to the beach most all of our lives, and later on in life, we found ourselves going, you know, I learned how to ski actually up here at Mammoth, right on this lift chair 11 that's right out in front of me in the 70s. But anyway, we would always camp at the beach and go surfing and do a Baja and all this stuff. But we found ourselves taking vacations to Tahoe and Mammoth. And we were very close to, we needed a change. We wanted to move to where it wasn't so trafficky. We didn't want a curb and gutter neighborhood. So we found ourselves an acre right outside of Bishop, 10 miles north of Bishop towards Mammoth. Love Mammoth. Want to play in it. Want to work in it. Don't particularly want to shovel it. So that was basically, and then Tahoe kind of came into the mix, but then didn't, because we have too many elderly parents and family in Southern California. And that would have added another 3.5 hour drive. So 4.5 hours to basically Southern California, LA area, that's what kind of keyed it for us.
Give me your worst, most frustrating day this winter.
When one of those atmospheric rivers came down and it was snowing in the mountains in Mammoth, 395 was closed. However, it was raining at my house, torrential rains, which I've never seen. This happened about 7 weeks ago. And our property backs up to BLM land, and we flooded. Couldn't keep up with it. I had some pumps running, and then my neighbor's yard breached into my yard. And once that happened, it was game over. I have a house that was built in the 70s. We have a conversation pit, one of those sunken pits, and that filled up with, well, before we knew it filled up with water, we got most of the water drained, what we thought was drained out of our backyard. And we went into the house to go grab a beer and then go down the street and help our other neighbors. And then I hear my wife, oh, crap. And
that's not what she said. I guarantee you that's not what she said.
But yeah, well, yeah, it wasn't crap. And that pit was filled up with 2 feet of water, and we have a crawl hole. The crawl space had 2 feet of water in it. So yeah, that, and of course we did not have, flood insurance. So that was probably the worst day, but you know, then that follows up by five of my good buddies that live in Southern California. One of them owns a flood restoration and carpet cleaning business. They left at 3 a.m. the next morning, and five of them came up here and filled up 300 sandbags and helped me out. So yeah, that was probably the worst day. You know, I just removed the fans from underneath my house 2 weeks ago.
Wow. Wow.
So that was probably the worst.
It sounds like the worst, man. That sounds awful. That's like reminiscent of living here in Minnesota when your basement floods or something like that. You're just,
yeah, going to the dump with furniture and having that had been submerged. Oh. And on my trailer, and I mean, the dump was a swamp, so that was just beautiful. And I had this guy who was unloading next to me at the dump. He's like, hey, what are you doing with that couch? I said, it's out of here, take it. I couldn't believe that guy wanted that couch.
That's like Cousin Eddie standing outside Clark's house with that chair that got smoked by the cat. And you're like, what are you going to do with this chair, Clark?
Yeah, classic. And as I just chucked it into the mud, I'm all, here, I'm out of here.
It's all yours. Oh my gosh. Well, I remember certainly our mammoth trips would somehow always start by leaving San Diego sometime after midnight and driving through the night to get up to the resort, you know, have breakfast and then be on the mountain for the day, maybe stay a night and then ride all day and then drive home the next day. And
right. So, well, so many people, they might surf. It's kind of bragging rights, right? You surf in the morning and then you drive up and you ski in the afternoon, or you vice versa. You get up here and ski in the morning just so you can say, hey, I did two events today. But typically, well, mountain biking is probably going to be non-existent up here, at least on the ski resort, because of the mass amounts of snow that are still here. But not uncommon that you could do mammoth motocross, you could golf, you could ski and mountain bike all in the same day.
That's such a California thing. California thing.
My age, those 3-4 events have now gone to, I'll take a one event day.
No, totally get that. Totally get that. Yes. I would never drive through the night now and then ride all day long to stay one night and then ride all day long and come back.
Yeah,
that does not happen anymore.
It's a burner.
But it did. I remember a trip that I had a buddy of mine who was trained to be a Navy SEAL, and we made him lay down. We're so mean. We made him lay down in the back of my truck the whole ride to get there so he could get used to like training for cold weather stuff. And I remember going in the mammoth, him banging on the window, guys, let me in. He's 18, 19 at the time. So he could handle it. But yeah, he's like, I'll just lay down in the back. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Back in the day when you could do that.
I'm not even sure it was legal then, but we did it anyways. But yeah, I mean, I have such good fond memories of going up there, and it was great when we got up to go ride up there and see. And I mean, your mountain biking has exploded over the years there till it's almost got this world-class sort of level now, doesn't it?
Oh, that's definitely true. And the Kamikaze downhill, where you can get, you know, upwards of, 60 miles an hour. And it's been getting back to driving up here. I remember driving up here in the early 80s with two of my buddies in one of our parents' pickup truck. And we were so excited to get to Chair 2 and hit this powder day that, and don't ask me why, all three of us left our wallets on the dashboard of this pickup truck and left the windows wide open. And so we skied all day and got back to the truck, and there was 3 inches of snow inside the truck and three lumps, and underneath there were our wallets.
That is some good memories there. That is some good stuff. Oh man, I got to get back out there again. It's been forever since I've had a chance to get on the slopes up there. How much are the trails impacted by the winter this year? Are some places still not open, I would imagine?
As trails as far as
off-road trails.
Oh yeah. Up in Mammoth, they're not quite there yet.
Yeah.
and the high elevation snow. Like right now, there's you wouldn't be able to even touch where we went to Sherwin Lakes. When we went out of Shady Rest and went over to June, that's all inaccessible. Too much snow out there as well. So we had a little bit of a heat system a week or so ago, but then, like I said, it turned cold again, and another 4 to 6 inches of snow in the last week. So, but I'll tell you what, I know that Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, they are on their toes, because all these, you know, we are the main source of water for Southern California, the LA Aqueduct. And about 2 weeks ago, I went out in my Razor and another guy in his car, and we did about 100 miler, and I saw water where I've never seen water in some of these ditches, drainage ditches, before. And the aqueducts are brimming. There are so many DWP people out there diverting water, and it we really haven't started to melt yet. So it'll be quite interesting to see what this melt does.
I believe it. I mean, we obviously get to travel around the country and fortunate enough to go ride a lot of places and see a lot of things. And a month ago or so, we were out in Arizona, and they had also gotten a tremendous amount of rain this year. And there was water where they had never seen water before, but there's also flowers in the desert that hadn't shown up in years and years and years. And all of a sudden it was just, I mean, they referred to it as the super bloom. And
my wife and I experienced that. And we drove down, we were down in LA last weekend, and it's just kind of, it's still doing it. But I tell you what, 3 weeks to a month ago, just exactly what you said. We were amazed at we've never seen it like that in all the years we've even been living in Southern California. Never seen it like that.
No, I was just in San Diego a week and a half ago, and we were driving down the freeway going to Torrey Pines, and the sides of the highway were just yellow. And I was like, I don't remember ever seeing it like this vibrant yellow, like maybe yellow a little bit or for a few days, but it's just like, just might as well painted the hillsides yellow.
It's funny because there was a little bloom last year down by Lake Elsinore, Temecula area. It, so much to where it got so, people were just pulling over on Highway 15 and just parking, and it became a traffic nightmare. And they made this area that you could park and pay to go see that. And this year it's like, well, you know, drive a couple miles and there you go.
Yeah. It's all look at California taking advantage of something. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Here, pay me a dollar to go see those flowers.
Right. Right. I'd never heard of this term super bloom before until this year. And I thought it was a great, great term, and something that, you know, you just have to, your timing, right? To me, life is always about timing, and the timing was perfect for us being there and seeing stuff that you just don't get to see every
year. That's true. Very true.
Awesome. Well, Steve, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today. I appreciate the stories, the background, and I could sit and talk Southern California and mountains all day long.
I certainly agree, and I certainly am enjoying that rugged radio that I have in my car, and works fantastic. And pleasure talking with you, Jared.
All right, Steve, thanks so much. And now I need to move Mammoth back up to the top of my list, both in the winter and in the summertime.
You got to give me a call, and we'll hook up.
Awesome, Steve. Thanks so much. We'll take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
You too. Bye-bye.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Rockford Fosgate. If you want to upgrade your audio system, or you've been thinking about getting a new audio system, Rockford has you covered from stage one all the way up to stage six kits. Those are awesome. Rockford takes your audio to the next level. And by Polaris Adventures. From Maui to Maine, Polaris Adventures has rental outfitters all across the country. I'd have to check to see if they have one in Mammoth, though. If they do, go there. Summertime is quickly approaching, so start planning your next adventure with Polaris Adventures. Well, that does it for another Destination Polaris podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe us where you listen to your podcast, and we will talk to you again soon. Take care.